Okay, so let's pray and we'll get going. We need to make sure we keep the main thing, which is the Word. And so let's get into this today, this morning, and we'll go from there. So let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Lord, you're so good to us. And Lord, I thank you for just a week that we just come off the Lord's Supper. I feel like the church is really of one mind and one accord, and we're really just moving forward in the work that you've called us to do. And so as we go into the week of Vacation Bible School, we can just really be ready to serve. Lord, that's what you've called us to do. Lord, that's what you've commanded us to do. And so I pray that we would be willing to just be obedient to you, Lord, as we do that. And so I do pray for all the details of this week. I pray for the kids that are coming. I pray they hear the gospel. I pray the gospel becomes real in their life. I pray for the parents that you would just show them that this is a place that's not just about, you know, one thing or another thing, but we really do want to just present them with a relationship with you, that you are real, and that you can really just heal their family with whatever they're going through. I pray for the workers, Lord, that you would just protect them from, you know, just spiritual attack, that you would just keep them of one mind and one accord, that we would be able to serve you well. Lord, I thank you for just everything that you've been doing over the past several months, and you're just so good to us, Lord, and just seeing the Dunhams here with the baby is exciting. And Lord, you're so good to us, Lord. See, you know, Justin and Candace here, and just recently being married. And Lord, there's just so much new life going on in your church, and I just pray that you would just continue to bless it, to multiply it, Lord. That you would get the glory for all of it. I pray you'd speak to us today as we jump into just Jonah chapter 2, that a chapter that seems so odd at times, Lord. You've got so much of a bigger picture in it. So I pray that you would just move me out of the way, just speak through me. There's been a lot of things that I've been just meditating through this week, and so I pray that you would just allow those things to come out clear and concise, and that you would get the glory for all of it, Lord. So I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, open up to Jonah chapter 2. I mean, really, you can open up to Jonah at all, and it's probably all on the same page. Just my Bible, huh? Okay, so obviously we didn't have class last week because of the Lord's Supper, and it was good to have, you know, kind of a break and get our minds of one mind and one accord as a body. But the week before, we wrapped up Jonah chapter 1. I told you we weren't going back there, and we're not. You can go back and listen to any of that if you need to or you want to, but you know, the book of Jonah breaks up into just, you know, four basic chapters. In chapter one, there's, you know, God's great storm. We spent 3 months going through chapter one. I promise chapter two won't take that long. I actually think that we will get through Jonah chapter two this week and next week, and we'll be able to move on. I really do. So we'll see. 10 verses. So we'll see how it goes. I already broke it up. Like, I already knew. I'm like, I think I can do this in a week. And I'm like, okay, I'll break it into two. It'll be good. So, chapter three is, you know, God's great revival. Chapter four, God's great grace. They will take much longer than 2 weeks apiece, just in case you're wondering. But today, if you want a title or whatever, it's, God's great second chance, in the book of Jonah, chapter, two. God's great second chance. And so this isn't going to bode well for everybody who just laughed at me, but we'll get through one verse of this today. And then we'll take the rest of it next week. That's the way it plays out. So anyway, we're not going to spend too much time today talking about the fish, right? So as you break it up, you know, you got God's great storm and God's great fish, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about the fish. Because the fish is not the focus. The fish can't be the focus of what's going on here. And I'll explain that in a minute. The fish in Jonah chapter 2, or at the end of Jonah chapter 1 going into chapter 2, is simply God's tool to change Jonah's focus. The problem is most people miss... Now, I'm purposely saying this backwards for you. I'm going to say most people miss the trees because they're distracted by the forest. Now, a lot of times we say you can't see the forest from the trees. But the problem is with a chapter like Jonah chapter 2, they miss the trees, the individual things, because they're so distracted by the bigger, the macro. They're looking at the big thing. A lot of times we miss the big picture because we're so focused on the individual things. But when you come to something like Jonah chapter 2, we're so caught up in, what kind of fish is that? How did that happen? Did it really happen? Was God really, was this just a metaphor? What exactly was God doing there? Right? We get so distracted by, can somebody really be swallowed by a fish? Can they really live in it for minutes, let alone hours, let alone days? And then how would it get out of the fish? And we start to ask all these questions. And what happens is the next thing you know, you roll into chapter 3 and you're like, I guess I don't know how it happened, but at least he's back on dry land and we can move forward. And you totally miss what happened in Jonah chapter 2. And the problem is, if you miss what happens in Jonah chapter 2, then you really miss the grace of God, right? And I hate to be like that, but most Christians, they're like that. They're so caught up in the details of their own personal life, and they're so caught up in the ministries that they're involved in, and they're so caught up in everything that they've got going on, that they miss the grace of God in their life, right? They're so distracted by the tools that God uses to get their attention that they miss God himself, right? And that really does happen. And I'll explain to you how that happens. So my prayer today as we jump back into this is that we would walk out of here today not enlightened by the fruits of repentance and not about the genetics of whales versus fish, right? Because that's the debate everybody wants to talk about. Or whales are mammals and so it's not really a fish at all. And then we get into these big debates over, you know, God, the translation of the Bible. We get into all these debates and, like, we talked for a slight amount of time several weeks ago about the fish, right? And you can do your own study on the fish. But I told you from the get-go, the fish was simply God's tool, right? The fish was simply what God used to break Jonah. And don't forget, going back to several weeks ago, God also knows exactly what it'll take to break you. So don't push him to that point, because he will. He knows exactly what it'll take in your life to break you. And it took a great fish in Jonah's life, right? But we're not going to get into that. So we're going to talk about, there was a time at HBF that it would have been hard to teach this, right? Because this word, like, would throw up so many red flags to people. So we're just going to talk about this today, right? Because I feel like we're in a good spot as a church. I don't mean as a class or really, but I feel like we're in a good spot as a church to really discuss what this means. Because I can't teach through Jonah chapter 2 without talking about what repentance is and what it means and how it affects your life. Okay, so I don't usually do this because I usually don't have time, but I really want to do this today. And so if you guys don't answer, it's going to be really awkward. I'm going to have like a conversation with myself, but I'm going to ask you some just basic questions. And I do promise these aren't, as Paige calls them or Abby calls them, trick questions. They're really not. I just want to know, like, your guys's mindset on this, because I've talked about repentance several times, but we're gonna get into it. So when somebody says the word repentance, or they talk about repentance in the Bible, what is that?
To turn away from sin
in general. Okay.
Change of heart and change of mind, and we still change of life.
That's really close to how I usually say it, you know. But you know, that's right. But when you think about repentance, like, is that what comes to mind? Do you know? Because what happens is people jump to the New Testament and says, well, Jesus says you have to repent and be saved. That's part of your salvation. No, we're not even going to get into that, okay? When you think of repentance, you know, I'm just asking, like, what is it? It's a change. It's a turn. It's going the opposite direction. We've talked about that several times. And so let me get a little deeper than that, because it's easy to know what something is. But just because you know what something is doesn't really know that you know what it's used for, right? You can understand that a wrench is a wrench, but it doesn't mean that you understand what it's for, right? Or whatever else, right? And so, what is repentance for, right? What? Why is it necessary in the life of a lost person or a saved person?
You can't just keep living in sin and then proclaim a good testimony. So,
Paul's,
if you don't repent of the wrong, then how are you supposed to be glorified to the Lord?
Paul said something similar to that in Romans. Shall we continue in sin that... Well, no, but that's right. When you said that, it reminded me of, Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Right? And so repentance is the turning away from, oh, wait, I'm living like a dummy. Right? I can't be doing this. This isn't glorifying to myself, let alone God. And so, you know...
True repentance would be the evidence of a truly changed mind that has led to a changed heart, that produces the change in action that results in a changed life.
Do you want to teach? I was kidding. I was totally kidding. No, that was really good.
It was better. It was.
Yeah. That was like Jesus in the book of Hebrews. It was better, right? And so some of you get that. The key word in the book of Hebrews is better. He's a better everything. So that's what repentance is for. So what is the purpose in it in your own personal life, though? Like your life? I mean, it's easy to be like, oh, yeah, that's for Christianity. But what is the purpose of repentance in your life? Because I'm guessing that y'all didn't come rolling in here at 9:30 9:30, on Sunday morning. The week of EBS, when you could have used that extra 45 minutes of sleep, I get it, right? You could have used that. I had a discussion for about 45 minutes with the snooze button this morning. I get it. But what is the purpose in our life? Like the born again believer, what is repentance for us? Because obviously we're saved. You've already repented of your quote unquote sin and now you're saved. So what is the purpose of it in your life?
Correction.
Correction?
Getting corrected.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's good. I understand what you're saying now. I was like, correction, okay.
But
no. Okay. Right. Yeah, combine those. That's actually why I wanted to have a little bit of a... again, because like, this is why I like to do this sometimes, is because it like brings things to mind just very quickly. So you say correction to you know, get right back. Paul says, I die daily, right? And that's really what happens when you repent, is you're laying your own self down so you can say, no, God, you're in charge here, right? I'm going your way. And so Paul says that I die daily. If you are someone who doesn't repent daily of even the things that you're thinking, let alone the things that you shouldn't have already done, but you did, like we do, we need to die daily. Repentance is for that, right? So I shouldn't have to ask this, but I want to make sure I clarify this. Does repentance play any part in your salvation? That's not a trick question. It kind of sounded like a trick question, but it's not a trick question. No, it doesn't, right? Because repentance is a natural byproduct of your salvation, like going lost to saved. But no, you don't have to actively put any work at all into your salvation, right? Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. No, there's no work. For it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can do. If there was anything that you could do to get saved, then you would go back to God and say, well, I had to, if it wasn't for me, I wouldn't have had, no, it was all God. You just had to make a choice, right? And basically just pray. But repentance has no part in your act of salvation. I understand that in the New Testament, or it's actually, I'm not trying to confuse anybody, it's actually the Old Testament that's written in the New Testament, you know, meaning in the Gospels, because the New Testament doesn't actually start, even though your Bible says it does, until the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But, okay, so anyway, because, see, this is why we go way long, because a New Testament starts with the death of a testator, right? Well, Jesus didn't die until the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't put a date on it. And so it's actually when the Holy Spirit indwells everyone in Acts chapter 2, right? That is the start of the New Testament. That is when new life now can happen. Okay, so when we look at, when people point out, oh, well, what's it say in, you know, Matthew, or what's it say in the Gospels where it says, you know, you need to repent and be saved, that's completely different. That was Old Testament teaching. We are New Testament believers, okay? And so for you and your life, repentance is simply a byproduct. When you realize that, wow, I'm a sinner and there's nothing that I can do about it, I am broken and the only hope that I have for even tomorrow is Christ in my life, once you apply that, then all of a sudden that, yeah, it's a natural byproduct. It's like, you know, hitting your knee when you're at the doctor's office and it's like a natural reaction. You hit it and it's like a knee-jerk reaction. Because I have new life, now I have this natural desire to no longer go that way. I can't live like that anymore, right? Who are we to continue to live in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You know, and so, no, repentance has no part in your act of salvation. But it has a very large part in your act of sanctification, right? In your act of growing daily in Christ, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so that's just kind of, I wanted to make sure we had a little bit of a basic comprehension of, like, that is repentance. Repentance is just simply not going that way and going that way. Okay, so I've said many times, Chris almost hit it to the head, because I've tried to just nail it down into one statement when people ask me, like, so what is repentance? I've always said this, not always, but for the last several years as I've taught, I've said it this way, that repentance is simply a change of heart that leads to a change of action, right? And that's always what I've said. Repentance is a change of heart that leads to a change of action. You realize inside of you, with the Holy Spirit indwelling you, that I can't live like this. It's a change of heart that now leads me to do something different. I can't have this in my life anymore. I can't treat my wife like this anymore. So it's a change of heart that leads you to do something, right? And that makes sense. And I probably would have always said that. But as I've read Jonah chapter 2 a lot over the past several weeks, I feel like I need to add something to that. Right? And so this is what the Bible would call progressive revelation, because God is just like revealing things to me a little more as I go. Not that I was wrong in the first place, but I feel like God has revealed something to me. Not that you're supposed to go to the Bible looking for some new revelation. Like, it's still true. I just want to add something to it, right? It's a change of heart that leads to a change of action that gives you a changed position. And I'll explain what that means in a minute. But it's the same thing. It's a change of heart that leads to a change of action. But there's something else that happens with true repentance that you have no part in, right? And it's God's part in it. He gives you a new position, right? And so I'll explain that in a minute. Without the last part of that statement, it kind of leaves God out of the equation. You can decide, I don't want to do this anymore. Drugs are bad, okay? Right? And so I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to go this way. Okay, but generally what happens is you just replace one bad thing with a lesser bad thing. Right? And so that's what our society does. You know, we say, oh, I can't do this anymore, so I'm going to do this. Or I can't do that anymore, so I'm going to do this. You're just replacing one bad thing with another bad thing. And to just say that repentance is a change of heart that leads to a change of action, lost people do that all the time. They just replace one sin with another sin. And so we still can call it repentance, but it's probably not a godly repentance. So without the last part of that statement, it kind of leaves God out of the equation. That's what separates worldly repentance from godly repentance. So today, as we walk through Jonah chapter 2, I want to make sure that we not only understand the difference, but that we actually know how to apply godly repentance to our lives. Right? And so here's what I mean before I get too much into this. If you're lost and you pray the sinner's prayer, what happens to you? You get saved in an instant, in a moment. It happens instantly, okay? And so it's a change of heart. I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for God, okay? That leads to a change of action. Now I'm going to live godly, or I'm going to do my best to live godly, to live a holy lifestyle. But what happens when you do that? You're given a new position. You're no longer bound by sin and death, right? But now you're given this position of child of the King, right? You now sit at the King's table, okay? So that makes sense for a lost person, but how does that make sense when I have to repent daily? It's still a change of position. When I realize that, hey, I probably shouldn't have talked to my wife that way, when I realize that I shouldn't have talked to my brother in Christ that way or whatever, it's a change of heart that leads to a change of action. Usually there needs to be some sort of apology if it's, you know, something that I've done. But the problem is we don't ever address our sin towards God. I don't know what that was, but it's right here if somebody needs it. Anyway, so it's, we address our sins to one another, but a lot of times we don't ever address our sin to God, right? We don't address the things that God sees that nobody else sees. We think, oh, well, nobody else knows about that yet. I'll deal with that later. And at some point you have to realize that God is the one that matters. Yeah, you need to have good earthly relationships, but if you don't have the right relationship with Him, the other ones are messed up anyway. Right? You can try to be the best spouse that you want. You're not going to if you're not in the Word, if you're not, you know, living for Him. And so, as a saved person, when I say that it's a change of heart that leads to a change of action that gives you a changed position, like, in God's eyes, you don't lose your salvation when you sin. Okay? We understand that. It's eternal security. It's lesson 2 and D1. Okay? But what that does mean is when you sin, when you choose to sin, He still sees you as a son. But you're a son who is broken in fellowship, right? And God sees that. Now, everybody around you might say, oh, man, you're doing all this stuff at the church. You're doing all this. Well, God sees it as there's a break in the fellowship here. And until there's repentance, you can't be given the position of the son who has full benefits, who has full access to the throne. Because when you have some sort of sin between you and God, there's a break in fellowship. And so without that daily repentance, right, it's still just worldly. And so if you don't have a changed position that comes from it. Now, a problem that comes from this is we live in a culture where we defeat ourselves more than anybody else could defeat us. We live defeated. We live thinking that, okay, I know the Bible says that I'm redeemed, that I'm new, I'm this and I'm that, and all of those things, but I don't feel like it, right? I feel like I'm broken. I feel like I'm not worthy, right? I feel like I don't deserve all of God's goodness. Well, at some point you've got to realize your position, and it's in Christ. And we'll get to that next week, because that's not as far as we're going to get today. But the point is, it's a change of heart that leads to a change of action, which gives you a changed position. When you repent and you know that, like, hey, I've let it all out there. No, God already knew it, but He wants me to bring it to Him. When you lay it all out there and you're just like, God, I'm sorry. I'm a fool. This is what I've done. I know you know, but sometimes you just need me to confess it. There's such freedom in that. There's such, like, a lift off of your shoulders that you're just like, okay, let's go. Right? There's nothing I can't do now. It's given you a changed position. Right? You're not just at the table, you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. Like, you are so close in fellowship with Him. And that's what a godly repentance looks like. Okay, so here's what I got. Three ways. We're only going to get through one of them today. I knew how this was going to go. Three ways to know that you have godly repentance over worldly repentance. Because that's what happened to Jonah's life. I don't want to read the whole chapter. I don't have time. But so basically, you come out of chapter one. They throw Jonah overboard because that's what he wants to do. He'd rather die than repent. He would rather die than get right with God. And then it says in chapter 17 of verse 1, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's where it's left, okay? So he's in the belly of this fish. That's where we left it. He's in the fish. We don't know how. We don't know why. We're not even going to talk about why, because it doesn't matter. The Bible says that it happened, and I believe it. If you don't, then you have a problem with godly authority in your life. Not repentance at this point. But if the Bible says that it happened and you believe the Bible for your salvation, then how can you not believe the Bible for everything else it says? Not saying, I'm just saying. Okay, anyway. That's where it left. He's in the belly of the fish. And the only verse I want to get to today is verse 1. Because something had to change in Jonah's life, or something was definitely going to change in Jonah's life, and that was his standing as someone who's alive. Okay? He's in the belly of the fish. And as far as he knows, when he gets thrown overboard, he's dead. He has decided, I would rather die than live. I would rather die than serve God. But God had other plans. Right? In verse 1 of Jonah chapter 2, it says, then. Now, we read it just in line. It's like, okay, yeah, he gets thrown in the water. The fish eats him. Now, immediately, he's in the fish. We, like, forget about the part where it says he's in there for 3 days and three nights. We read it like, oh, he just got in the water. The fish just swallowed him. And now that he's in the belly of the fish, immediately, he's like, oh, wait, I need to talk to God about this. No, he doesn't say a word to God for 3 days and three nights. That's interesting. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Then, after 3 days and three nights, there was no communication of, wow, this isn't what I expected. I thought I'd be dead by now. We don't hear any of that, but it was then. It was only after 3 days and three nights that he talks to God. And the first way that you can know that you have godly repentance over worldly repentance is you have to have proper perspective. You've got to have proper perspective. And this is just the first point, because I think the next two are actually much more impactful than this one, but man, it has to start here. It says, then Jonah prayed. After 3 days and three nights. It wasn't immediately. It wasn't like, oh wait, the water's cold, right? It wasn't all these things. Oh wait, the fish's belly is slimy. You don't worry any of those things, right? Now, you can read commentaries about what would happen being in the belly of anything and the enzymes and how that all works. And that might play somehow into why when Jonah went to Nineveh the second time, the people believed, because his skin was probably bleached, some sort of crazy. Who knows what this guy looked like after being in the stomach of anything for that long? Like, you can. What did you say? Oh, okay. that might be a story. I don't know. But anyway, just the whole point is, like, who knows what exactly happened or what he was going through. But we just know that it was after 3 days and three nights that this happened. Jonah's perspective when he went into the water was rebellious. He thought he was right and God was wrong. He thought, I would rather die to keep my people, the Jews, the nation of Israel, clear of these people. Right? I know better than God here. God has gotten a little too liberal in his ways, right? Somebody can trek with that with the world we live in. He's getting a little too liberal, so I'm going to make sure I step in and do something about it. And he thinks that he's right and God's wrong. He's willing to die for it. Or at least he thought. The interesting thing is, he ends up dying to self, not physically. He thinks he's going into the water to die physically, but really, God's got other plans. God says, okay, if this is what you want, that's fine. But really what's going to end up happening is you're going to die into self. Right? Think about God's grace in that picture. He's ready to die. He's ready to completely give up. He's been nothing but rebellious to his Lord. God could have been like, fine, I'll find somebody else to use. Right? If that's how you're going to be, if you're going to turn on me, if you're willing to die, then I guess I'll let you. But God's grace is so much bigger than that. God's grace says, hang on. That's not going to work.
I think Jonah thought he was dead, and then it took him 3 days and three nights to realize he was actually in a fish.
I mean, I doubt it.
Like, this is good.
I mean, it's interesting if you get a little farther that he compares it to hell. He says, out of hell I cried out. But anyway, we'll get into that next week. But it's just, God's grace is so good. Romans 2, you don't have to turn there. I'll turn there real quick. Verses 3 to 6. Romans 2, verses 3 to 6 says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things? Now, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, somebody in here is like, oh, if I wasn't, at least I'm not as bad as that person, or at least I'm not doing that, or, you know, I can't believe they do those things, or anyway. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches and goodness of his forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You don't ever decide on your own, when you're enjoying all the great things of sin, that, you know what, I ought to not do this anymore. You don't. You think, I'm getting away with it, nobody knows, this is great, I got the best of both worlds. It's the goodness of God that brings you back to him. And if you think anything otherwise, you're a fool. It is only God's goodness, God's patience, God's long-suffering through your stupidity at times, and that's just what you need to call your sin, for you to realize that, wow, if I would have got what I deserved when I deserved it, I never would have got to God's repentance. I never would have got to real repentance. But it was the goodness of God that led me there. But after thy hardness and impotent heart treasureth up into thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Like, there will be a day. We understand judgment seat of Christ, great white throne judgment, you know, the difference between lost and saved, all of those, we get all that. What I'm saying is, man, if God is being gracious to you through some sort of sin, you need to realize that that is only God's grace and God's goodness. And if at some point it doesn't bring you to repentance, you deserve every last bit of what you've got coming. Right? That's just the truth of the matter. And we look at it and like, oh, God is a loving God. Well, people want to say, if God's a loving God, why does he want to send people to hell? He doesn't want to send anybody to hell. But at some point, there has to be a punishment for the sin, the brokenness of mankind. And God gives every person opportunity. But at some point, you have to decide that I'm going to take that goodness and I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to realize that, wait a minute, I'm not as good as I think I am. Sometimes we get so caught up in sin that we lose proper perspective. Like, you just get so caught up in it, you're such in the middle of it that you just don't even realize what's going on. You're lying to yourself at this point. It's not just everybody else, but your lies are becoming lies, are becoming lies, and it just becomes such a mess. And why does that happen? It's because you don't have enough vitamin J in your diet, right? Right? You gotta be partaking of the Word of God. You've gotta be getting Jesus in your life. And a lot of it. Because if you don't, right? If you just cut certain things out of your diet, what happens? There are certain things that your body needs to survive. Well, I'm telling you, as a born-again believer, if you cut out the Word of God, you're going to start looking funny. You're going to start smelling funny, right? You're going to start, like, just reeking of the world. And that's not what we need. Like, you've lost perspective. Jonah had effectively became God in his own life. Right? He didn't need God anymore because he was God. That's a problem. And I'm saying something there because the world we live in, they don't need God because they are God. Everything they need is at their fingertips. Everything that they desire is at their fingertips. Right? Anything goes when the whistle blows. You can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. I mean, shoot. Stick a cattail on you and you're a cat now. Like, and you can't say anything to them. And it's just, that's the world we live in. They've lost perspective. Like, the God who created all is now at the bottom because we don't need him anymore. Right? If we need spirituality, we can just go find it in what we do. Right? We can fulfill it in what we see or what we experience. And I'm telling you, if you lose perspective of who God is, you won't clearly see who the Lord is. Right? Now, you might say God and the Lord, that's the same thing, but if you lose perspective of who God is, because you've made yourself God, now you've lost perspective of who the Lord is. That's a problem. Right? And I hate to be like this, but man, this is the stuff that happens in the church. I'm not talking about the lost world. The lost world doesn't care. The lost world just does what they want when they want. And I expect them to do that, right? Would you expect when you went home to see your dog start meowing at you? Right? That's like saying, hey, I want a lost person to act like a Christian. They're completely different things. They don't have it in them to do that. And so, like, what I'm saying is you can't expect that to happen. But man, as a Christian, when you start replacing God with yourself, you've lost perspective. That's a problem. After 3 days and nights of living out the fact that he was simply... living out the fact that he was simply the creation, not the creator, his perspective changed a little bit. Once God shows you that, I mean, I know what you thought, that you were all that. Maybe you weren't. I know that you thought you had this all figured out. After 3 days and three nights of that, something happened. Because now all of a sudden he's like, I better pray. I better recognize God for who he is. Right? I don't even have time to finish this point, but I want to give you something to chew on for the rest of the week. And we'll pick back up next week. Because there's something here. I read over this multiple times. I even thought at one point, maybe there's something there. And then I'm like, nah, I'm looking into it. And then God was like, no, you need to come back to this. And so I did a little bit of a study. I'm actually going to do some more of a study, but I would encourage you to do the same thing. We'll come back to this and finish up verse 1 next week. But notice that it says that Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. Right? He doesn't pray to his God, the Lord, but instead the Lord, his God. There's something there. Right? God has to come back to being Lord first. And we'll get it. We'll pick back up there next week because I was going to try to rush through it, but I can't. So we'll pick back up there and we'll roll through the other 2 points next week. So we're still going to get done next week. I promise, ish. And we'll see. But yeah, for real, just kind of think through that because it's interesting because it's not always like that in the Bible. But it's the Lord his God, not his God, the Lord. So we'll get into that next week. But we have to change our perspective. If you want to have a true godly repentance and not a worldly repentance, then we're going to look at really what the difference is next week for sure and kind of tie this all together. But if you really want to know what that's all about, you got to have proper perspective first. So I come back because it actually gets way better. I feel like this is really good. God was showing me some things, but there's so much here in this chapter, and man, we just miss it. A lot of times people just want to read Jonah chapter 1 and they want to fast forward to chapter 3. Oh yeah, he was in the fish and he got out of the fish. Who cares, right? God can do anything. Okay, but yeah, but how did God do it? What did he have to do in Jonah's life to do it? Like that's the, as Christians, that's the stuff we need to thrive on. But instead, we're just like, what's the next part of the story? Well, you're the next part of the story. How are you going? What are you going to do? Like, God's trying to do something in you, but what are you going to do? So anyway, let's pick back up there next week. Sorry, let's pray. Remember, pray this week for VBS. If you can't be there, even if you are there, not just for yourself, not just for the kids that you're involved with, but there are so many kids. Chris said there's already 90-something kids signed up. That means that there's going to be well over 100 by tomorrow night. That's just the way things work at HBF, right? I wouldn't be surprised if there's 120 or 30 next by tomorrow night. That's just what happens. There's something big going on here. Man, we got to be praying. Because do you think that the devil's just like, oh, that's cool. They're having a VBS over there. Right? No. the devil's like, oh, okay, I've got something planned for this. You got to be praying, okay? We got to be praying. All right. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today, Lord. You're so good to us. Lord, I really wish I could have got through more of this because there's something so big that you want us to see when it comes to repentance in our own lives daily and what that means to have a proper relationship with you. And man, if we just get our minds out of, you know, just worldly repentance of, I want to change because I got caught. I want to change because it'll make my circumstances better. But Lord, I just pray that you would give us a godly repentance, a repentance that brings us to you, that turns us to you, that draws us to you, that makes us new. Lord, that just gives us a fresh start. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just allow us to just kind of swim around in that this week. It's going to be a busy week. Lord, we do pray for all of the details of EBS. There's so many things going on, Lord, but it's such a small thing for you to do all of that because you're God and we're not. So I pray that each and every one of us would just find out where our part in that is and that we would do it well. And just trust that everyone else will do their part well and that you'll get the glory for all of it, Lord. I pray that you would just keep the adversary at bay and that you would just show that you are preeminent in the walls of HBF, Lord. And I pray that you get the glory for all of it. Send us out as lights in a dark world. Be with all the details, all the rest of the decorating that's got to happen, all of the lines that have to be memorized, all of the kids that have to get here. Lord, just be the God of the details so that the glory would all go to you. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. What did you say?
I just can't. This one particular part of this story, I cannot believe it. Because I see the wrong turn.